Please turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and we want to read verse 4. This is a passage that we quote quite often. It reveals some very important information in regard to the Old Testament scriptures. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer. He said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Here reference is made to that which was written aforetime. That's referring to the Old Testament scriptures. Notice that we're able to receive tremendous benefits from the Old Testament scriptures. We're able to learn a lot of very important information because it was written for our learning. Also, notice that comfort is mentioned, and then hope. So as a result of coming in contact with the Old Testament scriptures, we're able to receive a tremendous amount of information and additional blessings as well. Well, this morning we showed from the scriptures that preaching is an authorized activity in Christian worship. This evening we want to spend a little while considering some additional information from the Old Testament that has to do with preaching. In our lesson, we want to make a number of observations from Nehemiah chapter 8. So please turn to that chapter, Nehemiah chapter 8. Just this past week in my daily Bible reading, I read this chapter. I always love to read it, I love to study it, and I love to teach from it. It has to do with a very special occasion when God's word was preached, and the preaching of God's word was very effective. There are some very important lessons that we can learn from this great chapter. Let's read it together, Nehemiah chapter 8. "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, on his right hand, and on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths on the feast of the second month, of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we want to make several observations in regard to preaching from this great chapter of God's Word. But before we do so, let's look at how some people responded to Jesus as well as the apostles. As we think about this, it will help us understand why sometimes preaching would be considered to be effective and sometimes it may not be effective. Now, Jesus was the greatest preacher who ever walked on the face of this earth. We know that. Let's notice how some people responded to him. Let's first look at Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. These statements appear after Jesus concluded that great sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Let's look at the response of the people. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Notice that the people were astonished at the Lord's teaching. There was something different about his teaching. It wasn't like the scribes. The people were attracted to the Lord. They understood what he said, and he made his points very clear. That's one response to the Lord's teaching. Let's look over at Matthew 13, though. Matthew chapter 13. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. Jesus was in the area where he was raised. The people there should have known him better than anyone else. They were offended at him. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus finished his great Sermon on the Mount? People were astonished at his doctrine. And now, in his own country, people were offended in him. Same preacher. I'm persuaded he was presenting the same message. But notice the people responded differently. What about the apostles? Well, to illustrate how the people listened to the apostles in a positive way, let's look at Acts 2 and read verse 41. This was on the day of Pentecost. Peter and the apostles were in Jerusalem. And Peter's sermon is recorded for us. At least a portion of it is. And look at the response. Acts 2 and verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What a response to one sermon. About 3,000 people being baptized on one day. But what led those people to obey the gospel? They gladly received the word that the apostles preached. Now, was that always the case? Unfortunately not. Let's look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, let's read verses 32 and 33. Of course, Paul was in Athens at the time, and he taught some mighty powerful things, dealt with some important issues. What was the response? "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them." Wouldn't it have been a tremendous blessing to sit at the feet of the Apostle Paul and hear him preach about the resurrection, as well as other very important subjects? When Paul mentioned the resurrection, some people mocked. Now, Paul was not among the apostles on Pentecost. He described himself as of one being born out of due time. The Lord selected him at a later time. But he was just as much an apostle as the original 12. Of course, Judas took his own life and Matthias took his place. But Paul was an inspired apostle. And here some people mocked. I'm persuaded that Paul preached the same message that Peter and the other apostles preached. Compare what he said in Athens to what Peter preached on Pentecost. You'll see a lot of similarities. What's the difference? Well, we looked at some occasions concerning when Jesus preached. On one occasion, people were astonished at his doctrine. On another occasion, they were offended at him. There was a great response to the apostles on Pentecost. But then in Athens, when the apostle Paul preached, some mocked what he said. Now, what's the difference? I think you can see it. The difference was the audience. I want you to notice that the effectiveness of the preaching of Jesus and the apostles was determined by the responses of the people who heard them. That's a very important observation. I'll say it again. The effectiveness of the preaching of Jesus and the apostles was determined by the responses of the people who heard them. Now, having said that, let's turn our attention to Nehemiah chapter 8, because this chapter records for us a great example of when preaching God's word was extremely effective. We want to make a number of observations, but please keep in mind what we've already established as a result of looking at the preaching of Jesus and the apostles and the ways in which people responded to them. Well, the first point we want to make from Nehemiah chapter 8 is that the preaching of the Word of God on this occasion was very effective. Now, that point is emphasized at the end of the chapter, verses 13 through 18. The people who were present on that very special occasion learned the will of God and they put it into practice. Now, that's a good sign of effectiveness of the preaching of the Word of God. People learned God's will and they put it into practice. Now, specifically, let's consider a certain feast that they learned about. They learned about the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Tabernacles was one of the three great feasts in which the Jews, the male Jews, were required to go to Jerusalem to worship. The other two were Passover and Pentecost. Now, Tabernacles was also called the Feast of Booths. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But it was a 7-day feast that began on the 15th day of the 7th month. Now, that time is very important. Tabernacles was a 7-day feast that began on the 15th day of the 7th month. And during that feast, the Israelites lived in tabernacles made of tree branches, or booths. That's why it was sometimes called the Feast of Booths. Now let's, for just a moment, look at Leviticus chapter 23 and consider a few statements that Moses wrote in connection with observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus chapter 23, and let's start at verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Go down to verse 40. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Now, what was the purpose for observing the Feast of Tabernacles? That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So, each year, when the children of Israel observed the Feast of Tabernacles, they were reminded of God's blessings when they traveled from Egypt up to the Promised Land. How that he blessed them and he protected them. That was an annual reminder of God's great blessings. But notice again when that feast began. It began on the 15th day of the 7th month. Now, let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. And we need to consider the timing of what's written in this chapter. Verse 2 teaches us that it was the first day of the 7th month. So the children of Israel would have about 2 weeks to get ready to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. But the 7th month has arrived. As the law was read to them, they learned about the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want you to notice that the Jews had not observed this feast as they did on that occasion since the days of Joshua. That's a long time. I should have looked up the exact number of years because we could be able to determine that. But suffice it to say, the Jews had not observed that feast for a long, long time. But now, as the law was being read to them, they learned once again about the Feast of Tabernacles, and the time was right, so they observed that great feast. So when the Jews learned that God wanted them to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, they followed his instructions. Now that's why we said earlier that the preaching done on this occasion was very effective. It was effective because the people present learned the will of God and they put it into practice. Remember what Luke 11 and 28 says, "Blessed are they that hear the words of God and do them." Well, I think you'll agree as we consider what happened on this occasion in verses 13 through 18 of Nehemiah chapter 8, that the preaching presented on that occasion was very effective. Let's consider three additional factors that contributed to the effectiveness of the preaching that was done on this occasion. First, a prepared preacher was present. A number of speakers were involved. We did our best to read their names earlier. I may have messed up on one or two of them, but I think I got most of them pretty closely. But there were a number of speakers involved on that occasion, but Ezra was the main spokesman. His preparation is mentioned in the book of Ezra. Let's look at Ezra chapter 7 and read verse 6. This verse describes Ezra as a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Many times we read about scribes in the Bible. They were men who actually copied out the law by hand. After doing so for a long period of time, they'd be qualified to serve as teachers of the law because they would know the law. So Ezra is described in that verse as a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Well, look at verse 10. Verse 10 talks further about his preparation. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra's preparation began in his heart. That's where preparation needs to begin. Ezra was so wise. But I want you to notice the order in which he did things. He prepared his heart, number one, to seek the law of the Lord. Second was to do it. And third was to teach it. Now that's the proper order. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and then to teach. This is the man who was the main spokesman on the occasion that we read about in Nehemiah chapter 8. So he was certainly a prepared preacher, and his preparation enabled him to take advantage of the opportunity that was given to him on that occasion. A second factor is that a powerful message was presented. Well, there's two reasons given why this message was so powerful. First, and I think this is where we need to begin, the message was powerful because of its content. What was the content? If you look at verse 8, you'll find that it was the law of God. That's what was preached on that occasion. And that's the same message that we're responsible for teaching and preaching today. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 says, "Preach the word." But there's another factor given as to why this message was so powerful. It was also powerful because of the way it was delivered. Look at verse 4. This verse teaches us that Ezra stood on a wooden pulpit made for that very purpose. Isn't it interesting that we do something similar even today? Verse 6 says that Ezra began by blessing God. And then look at verse 8. Ezra and the others who were with him read in the book of the law of God distinctly. They gave the sense and they caused the people to understand the reading. Now, in my judgment, and I've thought this for many, many years, that's about the best type of preaching that can possibly be done. is to read distinctly, give the sense, that is to explain the passage, and then to cause people to understand it. Sometimes that can be done through illustrations. That method has been around for a long, long time and is tried and true. They read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I've always believed that reading scripture is very important. Many, many years ago, just after I became a Christian, I was part of a men's training class. This was in my home congregation in Jacksonville. We met one evening a week, and each week we had a different assignment to fulfill. And there were quite a few men who participated. It was a very effective class, I thought. I still got my little workbook from it. But each week, a decision was made about who had the best presentation and who was the most improved from the week before. Well, I have to admit to you, the first 3 or 4 weeks, I was struggling. But then one week, we had to read scripture. And I thought to myself, I know I can do that. I worked all week long on reading a section of scripture. I don't remember which scripture I read, but I do know this. That week, old Raymond got the best, the most improved. I was proud of that. I've always believed that reading scripture is very important, but it has to be done correctly. Notice that these people read distinctly. Well, that's very important. I've always believed that that's about the most effective way of preaching that we have available. To read in the book of the law of God distinctly, to help people to understand the sense, and then to understand the reading. So, a prepared preacher was involved. A powerful message was presented. A third, and this is what we want to emphasize, a respectful audience was present. Now, in order for communication to take place, there has to be a sender, that is someone who sends the message. There has to be a message, but then there has to be a receiver. A respectful audience was present on that occasion. Verse 3 says that their ears were attentive to the message. And let's notice the makeup of this audience. It consisted of men and women and all that could understand. I've appreciated the fact for years that those people just didn't send the young people off to do something else. They were right there when the Word of God was read and taught. You'd be amazed at how much young people can understand. I'm afraid sometimes we sell them short. But that audience consisted of men, women, as well as young people, those that could understand. But their ears were attentive to the message. Verse 5 says, when Ezra opened the book, all the people stood up. That's just an amazing statement. I've tried to visualize this many times over the years. And I just imagine Ezra before the people opening up the book, probably a scroll. And he's on his pulpit of wood. And the people want to be there. They've made a request for Ezra to be there to read. When he opens the book, the people stood up. I thought if I was Ezra, I would have been tempted to say, take me, Lord, because it doesn't get any better than this. These people want to hear. Well, they were here for a great purpose, and they were not disappointed. Well, they stood up But verse 7 says they stood in their place. How long? For a 30-minute sermon? Verse 3 says from morning until midday. That's a long time. And verse 9 shows that there was an emotional response. They wept when they heard the words of the law. But that's not the end of it. Verse 12 shows that their respect for the word of God resulted in great joy. They were filled with sorrow when they realized that their lives had not been what they should have been, that they had transgressed the will of God and they'd fallen short. It bothered them. That shows that they had clear consciences, consciences that could be touched. They wept when they heard the words of the law. But then, after some encouraging, that sorrow turned into great joy. When Teresa's dad moved from North Carolina, he had been preaching there for a number of years. And he was presented with cases of cassette tapes of all of his sermons. I think there are about 14 cases, if my memory is correct. Of course, we have them now. I haven't listened to one for a while, but for a while we did listen to his sermons quite regularly. And I heard him preach for a number of years in my home congregation. And as I listened to that cassette tape, I can just visualize her dad up there behind the pulpit. I can just imagine his mannerisms, his facial expressions, all of that sort of becomes more alive. Well, try to put your place in this location that we read about in Nehemiah chapter 8. The people had been in captivity. They were in captivity because they disobeyed God. Their great temple had been destroyed. God, after 70 years, allowed his people to leave the land of captivity and go back to their homeland. They rebuilt the temple. It wasn't as grand as the one that Solomon had built, but it was very special to the Jewish people. But some reforms needed to take place. Also, the city lacked a wall for protection. Nehemiah took care of that. He was a great builder. It's one thing I admire about him. He was a man of prayer, and he was a great builder, and the people cooperated with him. But on this occasion, the people made a request for Ezra. He was the scribe. He was the priest at the time, to bring the book of the law of God and read to them. What a great request that was. But I can just imagine all of these things taking place. Just like I said, when I listened to one of Teresa's dad's sermons, I can just see him in my mind. Well, this is a great example of effective preaching. It wasn't all on the shoulders of those who were involved in reading the law. The message was important, but what about the audience? I tell you, when a preacher sees an audience react like that, it's very encouraging. Shows that people want to learn, want to know. And then they had a visible response to what took place on that occasion. Well, why was all of this information written? Romans 15 and verse 4 that we read earlier shows that it was written for our learning. Well, what can we learn about the effectiveness of preaching? We showed this morning that preaching is an authorized activity in Christian worship. But what can we learn about the effectiveness of preaching? Well, number one, there has to be a prepared speaker. Number two, the message and the method of delivery are both important. But number three is the respect and the response of the audience. I think it's interesting that this was not a one-time event. Let's continue in chapter 9. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Notice how this practice continued of reading God's word, learning God's will, and then making the necessary corrections and doing what God wanted them to do. Well, those are some great lessons to learn from a great chapter of God's holy word. Preaching is a very special activity in worship, and we need to consider all these things that we've considered today.